Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be.
And before you give the sermon, Reader John, I'm just struck with how, again, if you follow the life of Christ, you know, he had crowds that followed him here and there. And there were times when these crowds turned away from him. When Jesus would say something or do something that they found offensive. And I remember one of those times in his ministry was when he spoke very clearly about the Eucharist, about the body and blood of Christ that we share in the Eucharist. And he said, "This is my body, this is my blood. He who does not eat and drink of my body and blood has no part of me." In John, I believe it's John chapter 6. And at the end of that time, it says that many people, many who had been following him, turned away and followed him no more. They were offended. "How can this be your body and blood? Who do you think you are?" Well, here we have a crowd again today. A crowd gathers. They saw the miracle that Jesus did in raising Lazarus from the dead. And now Jesus comes into Jerusalem. And you have a crowd in behind him that's coming from Bethany. You have a crowd in front of him from Jerusalem. They're all meeting Christ and shouting Hosanna to the King. The next time we read about a crowd is when the crowd cries out and says, "Crucify him. Crucify him." Maybe it was some of the same people in the same crowd. We don't know. But Jesus came not to deliver his people from the yoke of Rome. He didn't come as a political Messiah. He came humbly. He came to save us by going to the cross. May we humbly follow him and in love take up our palms and say, "Thou art the King. Hosanna to the King of the highest." And then say that no matter what comes in our life, continue to praise and glorify him as King. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I'll leave your sermon here.
Throughout Lent, the epistle readings on Sundays have been from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Hebrews. And they've had a common theme of pointing the way to Christ and gradually revealing him both as the high priest and the sacrifice, the offering and the one who offers. But today we hear from St. Paul, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." Today is one of the great feasts. Here we stand on this joyful day between the end of the great fast of Lent and the beginning of the great week of the Lord's Passion. Today the people of Jerusalem openly hail Jesus as their King and Savior with their refrain of Hosanna, salvation in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is a quote from Psalm 117. So what does the rest of this psalm say about our Lord? Verse 27 says, "God is the Lord and has revealed himself to us." A faithful Jew in those days would probably have had the entire Psalter memorized. In the Bible, when we see the Psalms quoted, it's important to understand the whole Psalm because often the whole Psalm is implied. Just as we today might say the first part of a proverb, like, "Give a mouse a cookie," "The early bird, if it ain't broke," "A penny saved, when in Rome," everyone knows the rest of the saying and what it means in the current context. And so it was for the Jews when they were quoting from the Psalms. Verse 24 says, "This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." This is one of the verses of Pascha that we sing so often during the 40 days that are coming. There's a connection between Palm Sunday and Pascha already established in this psalm. So in the same way, when the Lord was on the cross and cried out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" This was not so much a cry of despair, but to the Jews who knew the rest of Psalm 21, this was a clear association that Jesus was making between himself and the prophecy of the suffering Messiah. When he said, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" he was really saying, "All the ends of the world will remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the Gentiles will worship before you. All going into the earth will bow before him, and my soul lives with him." Right there on the cross, in those few words from Psalm 21, Christ declared his whole plan of salvation for the Gentiles and the dead in Hades. And this could not have been lost on those listening nearby. So the implications of this cry of Hosanna, this quote from Psalm 117, are huge. Appoint a feast decked with branches, even to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. I will give thanks to you, for you heard me, and you became my salvation. So whether the people knew it or whether it was veiled to them, they were not just hailing Christ as the Messiah and King, but as God. And not only this, but a God who would bring salvation to these people who suffered in the Roman occupation. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I warded them off. They circled and surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I warded them off. They surrounded me like bees around a honeycomb, and they were inflamed like a fire in a thorn bush, but in the name of the Lord I warded them off. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The prophecy readings of this day from last night's Vespers service are even more clear. From Genesis, binding his foal to the vine and his ass's colt to the choice vine, he washes his garments in wine and his vesture in the blood of grapes. From Zechariah, lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on an ass. I will set your captives free from the waterless pit. O prisoners of hope, today I declare I will restore you double. And from Zephaniah, rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cast out your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear evil no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with a loud singing as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors. When the people saw the Lord riding into Jerusalem on an ass, the people knew exactly what was happening. Before their very eyes, these ancient prophecies were being fulfilled. A warrior king was coming to save them. And indeed he was. Christ was indeed coming as a warrior king for salvation. But the Jews did not understand who Christ was going to save, or who he was saving them from. He had not just come for the Jews, and not to save them from the Romans. Christ came as a warrior king to save all mankind and the whole cosmos from death, the true and most ancient enemy. He was coming to do battle, not with the Romans, but with death itself. And when the people failed to understand this, they quickly turned on Jesus, such that the same crowds who hailed him on Sunday were calling for his death on Friday. We will have plenty of time this week to meditate on those things, but today is a day of celebration. We imitate the children waving branches, and even more than branches, we raise, as the hymns of this day say, the symbols of victory. And what is the symbol of victory? The refrain sung seven times on this feast, we all lift the cross saying, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let's also consider for a moment the dismissal that we hear at every one of the divine services. On feast days, you'll probably notice there's always a special phrase about the feast at the end of the service, summarizing the day's events for us. On the Annunciation, may he who condescended to become incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. On Christmas, may he who was born in a cave and lay in a manger. On Epiphany, may he who deigned to be baptized by John in the Jordan. On the Transfiguration, may he who transfigured before his disciples and apostles. And today, may he who accepted to make the foal of an ass his throne. In all of these, what is always the next phrase? For our salvation. Everything that Christ did was for our salvation. From the instant of his conception to his ascension and his sitting at the right hand of the Father. His conception and birth joined our human flesh and human nature to the Logos, without compromising or changing what the Logos was from eternity. This mystical condescension allows us humans to participate in God's energies, which saves us. His baptism revealed the Trinity, changed the nature of water, and granted us baptism, the means by which we become members of His body, which saves us. His transfiguration was another theophany, revealing the fullness of God's glory, God's energies, which we know is God Himself, revealing the kingdom to save us. His ride upon the foal of an ass, this too was His first step on His final journey to the cross for us to save us. As that old English Palm Sunday hymn goes, ride on in majesty, in lowly pomp ride on to die. O Christ, thy triumph now begin, o'er captive death and conquered sin. And what is to come? All of the Lord's work was for our salvation, but this holy and great week is the pinnacle. As the dismissal of Holy Week, which we will begin to hear tonight, says, He is going to His voluntary passion for our salvation. We will hear the readings from the book of Job, likening the Lord to the faithful, suffering servant, and from Exodus, likening Him to Moses, leading His people out from slavery and into the land of promise. He faced fearful sufferings, spittings and scourges and reviling. He condescended to crucifixion. He endured the life-bearing cross and death and voluntary burial, all for the salvation of the world. So let us enter into this season with our hearts open, pouring out our love for the Lord Jesus, and ready to receive the life that He's pouring out for us. In Orthodox Christianity, we don't just reenact these sacred events like actors, nor do we simply ponder and muse over them like philosophers. When we are in this church, we are actually entering into these events. Every Eucharist is the Last Supper and the crucifixion and the resurrection. Every Palm Sunday, like today, we are spiritually in Jerusalem, hailing our prophet, priest, and king, saying, Hosanna. Every Holy Week, we walk that road along with our Master, striving to follow Him faithfully. So as we come to this holy and great week, let us not become complacent like the disciples in the garden. As the Lord was going to His voluntary passion and death for the salvation of the world, praying and weeping with sweat and blood, what did the disciples do? They slept. He came to them again and again, imploring them to keep watch, but they wouldn't. Perhaps they didn't yet understand what was happening, but we do understand. We can't approach Pascha without also going through Holy Week, because there is no resurrection without the cross. Imagine if we were to walk in here today and witness this triumphal entry, and then go about our week as usual with our usual routines, and then come back next weekend to celebrate Pascha as if nothing had happened in between. We would be missing something, wouldn't we? We would be missing everything. St. Paul says we must give the more careful attention to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We have a great many services this week, and our Lord asks, will you keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The inspired power of the prayers and the divine services will sustain the weakness of our flesh if we are willing to make the effort. So let us be vigilant and say, yes, Lord, I will keep watch with you and for you as you go to your passion. Then we will come prepared to that joyful day, this coming Saturday morning, with that first liturgy of Pascha, singing, Arise, O God, and judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all the nations. And of course, on the glorious Pascha night, receiving the light from the light, never overtaken by night. Come, let us glorify Christ who is risen from the dead. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.